Welcome to My Father's House Podcast, episode 473, Empowered by the Holy Spirit and Fire. Minister Elizabeth Frauhager delivered this message on Sunday, May 24th, 2026, in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Bless you in the name of the Lord. Welcome to all of you watching on social media. We bless you in the name of the Lord. Thank you for joining us on this Pentecost Sunday. Are you all ready for more, church? Are you ready for more?
Yes.
Come on. Hallelujah. Our hearts are ready, Lord. And I'm just honored to bring the message today on this Pentecost Sunday. It is amazing. The Lord is good and He is faithful. Just like He was faithful back in the upper room, He's faithful today and forevermore. Yes. Amen. So we are just so happy to be here today. I'm happy to be here today. As I was preparing the message last night, I had a pouring of the Holy Spirit in my bedroom last night. Hallelujah. So I pray this message will bless you and continue to bless me. I titled my message, Empowered by the Holy Spirit and Fire. That is our portion as believers, to be empowered by the Holy Spirit and with fire. Amen. Amen. On this Pentecost Sunday. So let us pray. Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. We honor you, Lord. I just thank you, Father God, for all the hearts they will receive today in a great measure. I thank you, Holy Spirit. We yield to you, Holy Spirit. This is your message. This is your service. We yield. We are humble before you, Father God. Father, I ask that you would give us ears to hear, eyes to see, and a heart to perceive and receive what your Holy Spirit is saying to us today. We love you, we honor you, we give you praise, glory, and honor in Jesus' mighty name. And the church says,
amen.
Amen and amen. So we have been talking this morning from the beginning. This is Pentecost Sunday. What an amazing Sunday. May a fresh wind of the Holy Spirit come over this house today. In Jesus' mighty name. Is your heart ready to receive more of God?
Yes.
To be filled with Holy Spirit and fire today?
Yes.
Overflowing. Hallelujah. Pentecost Sunday is more than just a historic event. It is a fulfillment of God's promise. The day of the Holy Spirit ignited the early church. This is where all started in the upper room. Amen? It's a reminder that His power is still work in us today. Today. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. So if that happened in Pentecost in the upper room, it is our portion today as well. Amen?
Amen.
In Acts 2, it describes how the disciples gather together in the upper room in prayer in one accord. Just like us here today at my Father's house, we're all here together in unity and one accord. Amen?
Yes.
So we are positioning ourselves for the Holy Spirit to be poured out over this house.
Yes.
Thank you, Holy Spirit. They experience a mighty rushing wind and tongues of fire as the Holy Spirit descended upon them. Think about it, a mighty rushing wind. I wish I had like my, my son over here. Like to do the rushing wind. It's a sound that they heard. Amen. That day they spoke in tongues. They spoke with boldness. They reached people from every nation and saw thousands come to the faith. Isn't that a miracle in itself? The Holy Spirit gave them courage, gave them unity and purpose. And the Holy Spirit does that same thing for us today. We can walk in that same anointing, in the same Holy Spirit. We can be filled with the Holy Spirit and fire, just like in the upper room. I'm going to go a little bit back. So I'm going to start with, if you have your Bibles with you today, Or you can use your fancy phones, even you online. Get your Bibles out. Let's read the Word together. Because I can stand up here and say something that is not in the Bible, and it's your responsibility to double check. Amen? So let's go to Acts 1:8, when it records Jesus' final instructions to his disciples before his ascension. Jesus was promising the disciples that the power of the Holy Spirit to spread the gospel. This is what Prophet Joel prophesied in Joel 2:28. He already prophesied that before this to come in Acts. So let's just look at Joel 2:28 for now, and then just look and see what Prophet Joel prophesied in Joel 2:28. Amen? And it says the promise of the Spirit. Joel 2:28 says, "It will come about after this, that I will pour out my Spirit on all mankind, and your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions." Hallelujah. Prophet Joel prophesied that back in the Old Testament, what was to come in the book of Acts, and what was to happen in the upper room. And as Jesus is instructing them in Acts 1:8, telling them that you will be filled with the Holy Spirit, let's go look at Acts 1:8, and it says, and this is Jesus speaking, right? It's the red letters. Everybody's like, "Elizabeth, we know Jesus, the red letters are Jesus." But there may be some people watching online that they've never even seen a Bible before. So the red letters is Jesus speaking to his disciples, and he says, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, and even to the remotest part of the earth." But you will receive power. Everybody say power.
Power.
Say power.
Power.
Okay, that's better. We will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon us. Amen. Amen. And so as Jesus is assuring his followers that they will not have to spread the gospel on their own, you know, like in their own strength, we're not alone. He's given us the Holy Spirit. He tells them that it would be spiritually and supernaturally empowered by the Holy Spirit. So he's saying, don't worry, when I go to my Father, I'm going to bring you the Holy Spirit. It's best that I do that. Can you imagine the power of the Holy Spirit? We can take a look at John 14:16-17. And I'm going to read from this one because I'm going to use the Amplified version. I really like how it explains the Holy Spirit. And again, Jesus is speaking here, and he says, "And I will ask the Father, and he will govern you, or he will give you another comforter, a counselor, a helper, an intercessor, an advocate, a strengthener, and a standby, that he may remain with you forever." What an incredible promise. I'm going to give you, when I go to my Father, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit. One that will comfort you. One that will be your advocate. It is an amazing promise. 17 says, "The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive or welcome to its heart, because it does not see him or know and recognize him. But you know and recognize him, for he lives with you constantly and will be in you." In Greek, the word Holy Spirit is paraclete or parakletos. It's like a legal term. He is your advocate, the one that comforts you, stands up for you, right? In a court, your lawyer defends you. He's your defender, your comforter. The Holy Spirit has been given to each and every one of us. not so that we walk alone, but we have the Holy Spirit in us. Holy Spirit and power. Amen? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Are you with me, church?
Yes.
Yes, hallelujah. We are ready to receive more of the Lord. Woo, I'm fired up. So John the Baptist had also foretold of this Holy Spirit baptism. In Matthew 3:11, if you go there to Matthew 3:11, it says, "As for me, I baptize you with water for repentance. But he who is coming after me is mightier than I, and I am not fit to remove his sandals. He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and fire." John baptized with water for repentance. For the repentance of sin. And he's telling us there's going to be somebody mightier than I. The Messiah, Jesus. That's going to baptize us with Holy Spirit and fire. John's baptism was in water for repentance. We know that. And it's called, see if I can say this word, metanoia in the Greek. It means a change of mind and heart. When we repent and we get baptized in water, physically. That is what the John baptism is talking about here. But now Jesus is talking about a different baptism. This baptism is internal. It's spiritual and permanently fully immersing believers in the Holy Spirit and divine power. Spiritual cleansing and boldness for the ministry, for spreading the gospel, for equipping us. Amen? Mm-hmm. You know, I admire John and his radical humility. Carrying or untying a master's sandals was considered the most demeaning chore assigned only to the lowest slaves. Yet, John the Baptist, he was the forerunner for Jesus. Come on. Okay? John emphasizes that the gap between himself and the coming Messiah wasn't even qualified or fit to remove Jesus' sandals. I just loved his humility. May a spirit of humility fill this house. Oh, Father, help us to be humble. Help us to come in that alignment with you, to have a heart that is humble before you, that is humble and low, just like John. Let us learn from John the Baptist when he recognized Jesus the Messiah and said, "I'm not even fit to untie his sandals, to remove his sandals." May we walk in that humility. We have prime examples in our church. Pastor Harley and Pastor Karen are not here. But one thing that really drew me to this church was how they walk in humility. That is one of the attributes that I love about Pastor Harley and Pastor Karen. They walk in humility. May that mantle of humility fall on us today. Amen. I receive that. Thank you, Jesus. And we just bind every spirit of pride that tries to entangle us in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Jesus baptism is with Holy Spirit and fire. Holy Spirit power. Supernatural power to spread the gospel. He's given that to us today, just like he did back then in the upper room, to be empowered, to be uplifted, to be calling on the Holy Spirit to help us, to guide us, to direct us. Amen? How many of y'all call this Holy Spirit all the time? Come on. He's my best friend right nowadays, Holy Spirit. I will tell you a little joke just to loosen you up a little bit. So I wear little iPad, you know, a little earbud thingies. I don't know what they're called when I'm in the sauna room. Sometimes I don't. But I was listening to a message while I was there in the secret place. you know, worshiping the Lord. And the message was so good that I drove home with my earbud. And when you're in a hot sauna, you're actually sweating, you know, impurities and all that. And so you got to shower immediately. You got about an hour between you're in the sauna to get your shower and to get all the toxins off your body. The message was so good that, you know, it's waterproof. So I'm like, oh, I can't stop this message. I'm jumping in the shower with my earbud on, right? And so I'm listening to this message with my earbud on. This is how good the Holy is. I can't get enough of the word. I'm in the shower with my earbud. I'm hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Jesus. My son's probably thinking, my mom's, oh, she's off the rocker today. He mostly thinks I'm off my rocker all the time when I'm anointing the whole house and praying the blood of Jesus over this house and over the airways in the name of Jesus. And so after I showered, I took off the earbud and I brought the little case and stuck it in there. And I have a little thing in my shower that just hangs there in the inside. And so I just hung it there. Do any of you have one of those? Just put extra stuff because you got too many shampoos and too much stuff, so you need extra space. So I put it there and then I went about my day. Well, the next day, my friend called me and I'm like, hang on, Marilyn, let me get my earbud so I can hear you better. And so I'm looking for it and I can't find it. I search up and down my house, in my car, in my gym bag. I'm like, where is it? And Marilyn's like, ask Holy Spirit. Yes, ask Holy Spirit that. And I say, Holy Spirit, help me to find the earbuds. Holy Spirit, help me. And immediately I got a vision of my shower thingy in the back and I saw it. And I'm like, yes, hallelujah. And I'm screaming out my house, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And there it was. I know this is very minute, but it's just an example of how we can call on the Holy Spirit to help us. When we are ministering, when we're praying for people, Holy Spirit is there with us. That is a gift that we have inside of us that Jesus gave us. Amen. So let's start walking in that, and that power of the Holy Spirit. Ask and you shall receive, right? Isn't that what his word says? So we need to be asking our helper, because that's who he is, our helper. Jesus went to be with the Father. So now we have the Holy Spirit in us, our helper, to guide us. Holy Spirit, you know, pray. Ask Holy Spirit to show you, to direct you, to guide you, to show you, to give you a vision, a picture, a word of knowledge. Amen? Amen. He can do that plus more. Amen? Amen? This power is called dunamis power. In the Greek, it means miracle working power. Just think about it. You have miracle working power inside of you. May you get that revelation today. I know when I come up here, and usually I preach this, you have dunamis power inside of you and me. The same power that rose Jesus from the dead is inside of you. The same power that called Lazarus come forth is inside of you. That same power. I don't know about anybody, but I haven't raised any dead people yet. But I'm willing to try. I'm willing to try. How about you? Would you be bold enough to try? If they let me, I'll try it. Hallelujah. Maybe I'll start with a bird or a cat or something first, right? I don't know. But we have that power inside of us. And I tell you what, a lot of the church today are not walking in their authority. They are not embracing that dunamis power that Jesus died to give us. To walk in authority, to walk in power, to walk in strength, in dunamis power, to lay hands on the sick and they will recover. It's inside of us. To cast out devils and to preach the gospel with boldness. That is the Great Commission. That's what we are here for. To bring souls to the kingdom of God. To bring healing to the masses, to bring healing to the church, to bring healing to your neighbor through the power of Jesus Christ, through the Holy Spirit. I don't know about you, but here I am, Lord, send me. Send me to my neighbor. Send me to the grocery store. Operate in that power, that Holy Spirit power that is inside of you. Do you know, I was with my mom at the Goodwill store. How many of you like the Goodwill store? Yeah, they got some amazing stuff. This one was St. Francis Christian, St. Francis Goodwill Place, I don't know what it's called. But we were there, and there was a lady, and this is coming to my mind, so I'm going to share it with you. There was a lady, me and my mom were there, and there's a lady, maybe she was around 78 years old. I'm not real good with age, but she was an elderly woman, and she's walking through the store, and I'm not exaggerating. Her head, I told Tanya about this, her head was, let me see, which way was she tilted? This way. Tilted all the way to her shoulder. So she's walking around the store with her head like this. And when I saw her, I'm immediately like, ooh, I'm going to pray for her. But then my mom was with me, and I was like, well, okay, give me an open door, God, right? How many of you ask for an open door, right? And so she went to get something out of the, I'm just, I stayed close to her, and I'm praying like, God, give me a way. So she went to grab something off top of the shelf, and it's falling, so I jump right in there, and it's like, oh, let me help you. And she's like, oh, thank you. And so I helped her. But then my mom was watching me, and I was like, okay, so I walked away. And as I was walking away, I heard Holy Spirit, it prompted my spirit, you're not going to pray for her? I was like, whoa. So I turned around, like literally like charged toward her, right? I turned around and I said, hi, ma'am. You know, my name is Elizabeth. And I can't remember what her name was, Ethel, or it was, she was a older name. And I said, may I pray for you? And she smiled at me. She goes, well, sure. And I held her hand and I began to pray for her. And I know the Holy Spirit was hitting her hard. And I began to command the neck to line up and to pray for healing over her in the name of Jesus. My hand was on fire. She kept squeezing my hand. So I know she felt the Holy Spirit. She kept squeezing my hand. And then when I got done praying, I asked her, can you move your neck a little bit? And she did. Not a whole lot. But it wasn't all the way done. She raised it up a little bit. And so then my mom was watching me. And I said, Father, I have faith and I believe that healing's coming to this lady. If it didn't happen immediately, I don't know what happened in the evening. She might have gone to her car and all of a sudden, I have faith that God can touch her and heal her. Just because we see a situation that it seems like, oh, well, I don't know, can I touch her? May we have that boldness of the Holy Spirit to step out and pray for that person. If you see somebody in the wheelchair or with a crutches, may you be have that boldness to say, your job is to pray. That is it. It is God's job to heal them. It is God's job. They are healed. It is their job to receive. So we have parts to play. Amen? Amen. May that spirit of boldness come over you today in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I knew I shouldn't make this message long because I just get these downloads and then I got all this. Well, it is Pentecost Sunday and I think I heard I have 50 minutes extra because it's 50, right? No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. Okay, thank you, Holy Spirit. But may we have that spirit of boldness because God needs each and every one of you. Like, oh no, that's just the pastor's job. No, it's not. It is each of you are ministers of the gospel. Each of you are ministers of healing. Each of you are ministers of deliverance. Each of you can proclaim the gospel at some level. Amen? Amen. Receive that. That is for you. That is for you to take it outside the church, in the church and outside the church, and bring salvation, bring healing, bring restoration in the dark places through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the power we're talking about here. Okay? Amen. So the baptism of fire, so it's Holy Spirit and fire. Let's talk about the baptism of fire. It means purification. The presence and the passion of God. A refining, passionate fire that cleanses believers from the inside out. I don't know about you, but I want the fire of God to just burn everything that is not of Him. In me. I don't know if you're bold enough to ask it, but I am. God, remove and burn out anything and everything that is in me that is not of you. I want to be closer to God. And it is one way. He says, be holy, for I am holy. Amen? Mm-hmm. While the Holy Spirit brings the power, the fire adds a layer of dimension of God's character. visibly manifesting in Acts 2:3, which we'll go into that in a minute. Tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. When you read this account, it said tongues of fire. And I seen some pictures, and I was going to bring one, but I was like, you picture it, little tongue of fire up here, right? Like everybody's sitting there in the upper room, the 120 people there, and there's this little flame of fire. That's what it said, a tongue of fire, right? And I'm sitting at home going, just a little flame like that? Like, man, when I'm praying in tongues and I get filled with the Holy Spirit, it is like immediate saturation with the Holy Spirit and power. Amen? You get sweaty, you get beady when you're praying for people. It's not like a gentle little thing up on the top of my head. And you're not going to see that on top of my head because it was there in the upper room. There's a one-time thing that happened. But when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, it's like, like heat, immense heat. When I stepped up to the pulpit this morning to preach, it came on me. When I was worshiping, it come on me. That we get so used to that it becomes a daily basis. Come on. To be submerged with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Amen. So it was visibly manifesting the little tongue of fires on each and every one of them. In Acts, the fire means three things. So if you take notes, you can jot it down. The dwelling presence of God. In the Old Testament, fire symbolized the terrifying holy presence of God. Sister Rivka was talking about that. The fear of the Lord, the reverential fear of the Lord. Example was the burning bush, right? Moses and the burning bush, the pillar of fire, and God descending on Mount Sinai. In Acts, the fire sitting on individuals' heads. Their head was not on fire, y'all. Okay, let me clear that up. Their hair was not on fire. It was just a symbol, a visual symbol of fire on top. Signifies that God's holy temple is no longer a physical building, but each believer is now a dwelling place for God's presence. You and I are holy temples for God's presence. You know, when the Bible talks about take care of your temple, it's your body. It's hosting the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God Himself. You are hosting that. Amen. Get a revelation of that. Whoo, Holy Ghost, thank you. That we are a place for your Spirit to dwell in, your Holy Spirit. Two is purification and sanctification. Fire burns away any impurity. To be baptized in fire means the Holy Spirit is actively cleansing the believer's heart, burning away sin, selfishness, fear, pride. Come on. All of that is impure, that is not of God. That's what the fire does. Sometimes when we lay hands on people, we say fire. It could mean two things. The fire of God to consume them, presence of God to consume it, or fire, get the devil out and cleanse this stuff out. Amen? Amen. Amen. So we have to be open for both. For the cleansing, for the purification, because we want to be holy as He is holy. Yes, we're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect. But through Jesus, we are the righteousness of God in Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. So three represents spiritual passion. Fire represents an unquenchable zeal. The early church in Acts is characterized by the fiery boldness that cannot silence by persecution or jail threats. Maybe we that bold. Right now, we don't get put in jail now. If we go to like Cuba and those places, right, Sister Rebecca? We might be a different story. But here in the United States, you don't get put in jail for preaching the word in the streets or in churches. We're not there yet. We don't get put in jail if we're preaching in the streets. If we're preaching at the store, we don't. Why aren't we doing it? What are we afraid of? Are we just saying we don't have time for God? Are we too busy in our schedule that we can't take 5 minutes to pray for the lady at Aldi's? I don't don't know about you, but I need to come up higher in this area. And I'm telling you, I pretty much pray for everybody and anybody that comes in my midst. So my mom, she's like, oh, you're going to pray for that one too? Okay. You know, and she's gracious. She gives me grace. But, I mean, we have that boldness because God is counting on you. He's counting on me that when he brings that person that needs a touch from him, that you would be that vessel that says, yes, Lord, that I would step out and do what you've called me to do. Oh, maybe I don't pray like Sister Elizabeth, and maybe I don't pray like Sister Tanya or Pastor Harley. But you know what? You have the same Holy Spirit in you that Pastor Harley or Sister Rivka or Pastor Sarah have. You don't have Holy Spirit Jr. in you. You have power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So let it out and start using it for God's glory. For it's all for his glory. It's not about what Elizabeth or Tanya or anybody else did or Kit. It's all for God's glory. For his kingdom and for his glory. For God to be glorified here on earth through the Holy Spirit and the power that is in us. Amen. So now let's get to Acts 2, 1 through 4. This is the day of Pentecost. Jesus instructing his disciple in earlier not to leave, right? Don't leave Jerusalem, he says in Acts 1, 4. Don't leave Jerusalem. So they are waiting in the upper room. 120 followers. It wasn't just the disciples. There was men and women there. Yes, there were women there. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. Mary, the mother of Jesus, was there. And other women. And his brothers were there. A total of 120 were in the upper room. They didn't understand the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. They didn't know what it looked like. But they were waiting. Jesus didn't tell them when he was going to pour out his Spirit. It just said he will pour out his Spirit on them after his ascension. So they didn't know. So how long were they waiting in the upper room? Did Jesus ascend and then the Holy Spirit came? Let's look at that. Pentecost means 50th. Rivka said that in the beginning. Means 50th. Pentecost in 50 days is 50 days after the Feast of First Fruits. Right? So which is when Jesus rose from the dead. 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, then Pentecost hits. So let's do our math here. Jesus rose from the dead and was alive here on earth for how long? How long?
33 years.
No. When Jesus resurrected, rose from the dead, how long was he alive on this earth? 40 days. 40 days after his resurrection, he walked the earth. 40 days. And if Pentecost came 50 days after Jesus rose from the dead, you do the math. 50 minus 40 is what?
10.
Yes, hallelujah. They were there for 10 days waiting on the upper room for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. 10 days. Think about it. Okay, I'm just going to go there. Think about it. We're here today, right? And we're waiting for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Can you all be here 10 days in prayer, in unity, and one accord? Because we don't know when he's coming. Maybe I shouldn't say 10 days. We just don't know. But they were there. They were faithful. They were there. They were in one accord, it says. Get along with your neighbor, right? We're different people, different personalities, but get along. Be in peace. Let's be united. I may not agree with some things you like, and you may not agree with some things that I like, but to come in alignment with God's word, let's be united. Let's be in one accord so that we can have the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, so that the Spirit can flow mightily through us. When I minister with Sister Rivka and with minister, we're in one accord. We're united. Holy Spirit can do mighty things. Amen, sister? And that's with each and every one of you. Amen? Say you're gonna be good to your neighbor. Amen. Even if he's difficult. What reward do we have if we love those that love us? Let's love the unlovely. Let's love that person that's got an attitude that you just can't even stand. Jesus did. He loved with an amazing love. God, give us that love and that passion to love people. Give us that today in a greater measure, that we can extend grace and mercy and love to those that push our buttons. Oh, Lord, I know I need that today. I don't know about you. Maybe I'm just preaching this for myself. Maybe for some of you online. I know I need that. I need to extend grace and love. And people are difficult. Yes, they are. But they're God's children too. So let's just humble ourselves and love on them, whatever that looks like for you or for me. I know I need to come up higher in this area. So maybe some of you do as well. Thank you, Lord, for grace and more grace. So then comes chapter 2 of Acts. We're gonna go there and read Acts. Let's go there to Pentecost. Hallelujah. We're getting there. How are we doing in time? Oh, we got plenty of time. It's not 2 o'clock yet. Okay. You guys aren't hungry, are you? Okay, so let's go there to Acts 2:1, the day of Pentecost. And it says, when the day of Pentecost had come, they were all gathered in one place. And suddenly there came from heaven a wind. This Bible translation says a noise, but a wind, a noise, a sound, like a violent rushing wind. Can you all do that violent rushing wind? Let's see. Can you do some? Shh. Come on, let's be more violent. Shh. There you go, Tanya. There you go. So it was a violent rushing wind, and it filled the whole house where they were sitting. Can you just imagine? Like right now, we're here in the middle of service, and it comes this mighty rushing wind that invades this whole sanctuary. Hallelujah. Do it, Lord. So circle that word noise or sound there in your Bible. And then 3, it says, and they appeared to them tongues as a fire, distributing themselves as they rested on each of them. And they appeared. It didn't say it was like actual fire. It appeared to be like a tongue of fire. Can you imagine I'm up here preaching and all you got this little tongue of fire out there? Come on. So circle that. It appeared. It looked like. And then 4, it says, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit was giving them utterance. They began to speak in other tongues. Circle that word, speak, in other tongues. Kosha talara basete bekerina haya. Rivka, we crossed the Red Sea, like or the Jordan River as Rivka, and we all praying in tongues. There is power when you pray in tongues. You all know the devil can't understand what you're praying. So there's power there, and it's available to you and I. Amen? We'll talk a little bit about that. But I want to talk about the 3 things that we circled. Right? There's 3 phenomena that happen in the day of Pentecost. 3. 1 was audible. Mm-hmm. They could hear the sound of the mighty rushing wind. God is something, most times is represented as wind too. One of his attributes. 2, it was a visual. Right? They saw like tongues of flame on top of people on each person. So they also saw that. So 1, they heard the rushing wind. Then they saw the little fire, tongues of fire. And then 3rd was a verbal. Mm-hmm. People speaking in other languages that were not familiar, a.k.a. tongues, what we know, tongues. Mm-hmm. How many of you pray in tongues? Let me just see a hand. Hallelujah. Most of you. Praise the Lord. For those of you that want to get filled with the baptism of Holy Spirit and fire and speaking in tongues, we'll have an altar call And you can come up and we can lay hands on you. Because that is your portion today. Not tomorrow, today. You can receive that gift, that powerful gift of praying in tongues, speaking in tongues. That is your communication with God. You know, the Spirit prays through us. And there's a whole teaching on speaking in tongues, which I need another 2 hours, I don't know. But that maybe we can cover later on. But that is the power when you pray in tongues. It empowers you. It is a communication with you and God the Father that the enemy can't hear it. He can hear, but he doesn't understand it. It is power. Power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. How many of you, when you pray in tongues, you just get like this extra power? Yeah. You know, back in the days, I was mowing my grass, and a tree fell down, and I think Santos came and cut it down. And I had to move all of the wood to the other side where the pile was. And it was getting late, and it was like 9 o'clock, and I'm trying to move this tree. And I began to pray in tongues. And you ought to see me with the wheelbarrow. I thought I had all the power in the world. And I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, and I got this power of the Holy Ghost, the strength before. Even when I'm running, like my races, when I run, I'm on I'm running on a 10K, and I'm a 9K, and I'm like, you get power through speaking in tongues. Who wouldn't want that? Who wouldn't want that? Who in this room doesn't want that? See? Everybody wants that. I want everything Jesus died for. I want it all. I want all the gifts. I want to open all the gifts. I don't want to get up to heaven and say, oh, those gifts over there were yours, Elizabeth, but you did not want to open them. I want to open up all my gifts. Like a child at Christmas time. Open them all up and somebody else's. But God is that good. God shows Pentecost to pour out his Spirit on that day in the upper room. They all get filled with the Holy Spirit and with fire. I'm almost done. Hey, I'm at the end of it. Praise the Lord. They got filled with the Holy Spirit and fire. They got empowered. They got that boldness in them that you and I can have. Some of you already walking in that. That after being filled with the Holy Spirit, here comes Peter. Okay? Sometimes people put Peter down because they say, well, Peter stepped out of the boat and then he took his eyes off of Jesus and then he almost drowned. But you got to look at it from a different perspective. When Jesus says, come out and meet me, he was the only one that stepped out. Why didn't the others came too? Even if they didn't call my name, I'd be like, hey, Jesus, I want to come with you. But most people, yeah, well, Peter, you know, Peter took his eyes off Jesus and then he almost drowned. Peter was the bold one that had the faith to step out. So maybe we like Peter to have the faith and stepped out. And here, so in Acts, Peter gets up and proceeds a message, preaches a message to all the bystanders that they began to hearing and seeing what was happening in the upper room. The outsiders, and they're like going, oh, look at all those people. Sometimes people say that about our church. Look at all them people speaking in tongues. They must be drunk. That's what they said in the upper room. The bystanders were mocking and saying, oh, they're just full of wine. But then Peter says, he says, for these men are not drunk as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. So it was morning. They can't be drunk. They're drunk in the Holy Ghost, but not drunk like the bystanders were thinking. These people out of the rocker, you know? So when they get filled with the Holy Spirit, Peter gets that boldness and gets up and starts preaching this message to the bystanders, those that were there. Let's go to Acts 2:38. This is where Peter preaches here. 2:38. Go there with me. Acts 2:38. Peter said to them, repent, and each of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will call to himself. 40. And with many other words, he solemnly testified and kept exhorting them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. So then those who had received his word were baptized. And that day, they were added about 3,000 souls. Amen. Come on. Yeah. They get filled with the Holy Ghost. Peter gets up and preaches to the bystander. Now you got we went from 120 to 3,000 more people added to the kingdom of God. That is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We added to the numbers to go and preach the gospel. Hallelujah. I don't know if you're here today and you may be ready to receive. You're ready to receive Jesus, to receive salvation through Jesus Christ. Maybe somebody watching online, perhaps maybe someone in the sanctuary here, you haven't given your life to Christ. What a better day on Pentecost to receive salvation. Amen. So if you're watching through social media, maybe you're watching the replay. I just felt in my spirit that somebody's going to be saved. Maybe some of them, maybe many. Praise the Lord. Maybe me 3,000. Hallelujah. I have faith to believe that. Hallelujah. So if you're watching this or hearing this or you're in the sanctuary and you say, Elizabeth, I'm ready to receive Jesus. I'm ready for this salvation, this life more abundantly that you're talking about. So, Father, I just repeat at me and those of you that are here in the sanctuary, just pray with them. Just join them in prayer. So just repeat after me. Dear Lord Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God.
I believe that you are the Son of God.
That you died and rose again. Lord, I ask you to cleanse me from my sins. Forgive me, God. Just wash me as white as snow. I received your salvation today. The gift of eternal life. And Jesus, I am going to walk with you the rest of my life. So thank you for the gift of salvation. In the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you. The salvation message is simple. Ask for forgiveness and ask him to come and live with you. It's simple. It doesn't have to be a long, drawn out. Repent. Ask for forgiveness. And ask for him to come into your life and be your Lord and Savior. That is it. And then there's, you know, the walking and the ministry and all of that along with it. So if you receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior today, welcome to the family of God. Get ready because God is going to rock your world after today. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Hallelujah. Wind and fire. Wow. Symbols of the presence of God, of the power of God. God's presence was there with them and among them. Visual, tangible presence of God. What would you all do if I'm standing here preaching and all of a sudden you see this fire over my head?
Can't touch it.
Can't touch it. Hey, there you go. Would you want some of that?
Yes.
If you heard that rushing wind, can we believe the gospel to say we can receive this without hearing the rushing wind, without seeing that fire over my head or over your head? The gospel is truth. Yes. All the way from the beginning to the end. It's sharper than a two-edged sword that divides bone and marrow. And you know what? His word will go out and it will not return void. That's why we come up here and preach. And even Pastor Karen says, get in the word. Pastor Sarah always says, get in the word. Learn who Jesus is through his word. Through his word, this is who he is. That's how we know him. Close with him in the scriptures. If the day came where you had no access to your Bible or to iPhones, how much scripture would you know? Because that's coming. Not to scare you all, but that's coming. Get in your word, saturate it, meditate on it day and night, it says.
It should be so full. We should be so full of the word that we just can talk about the word all day long. It would just come out. Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. Let us be in communion with him through his word and in his presence. This is for somebody, because some of you don't even open up your Bible. Lord, I want more of that. I want more of your word to be so in my heart. That when somebody has a problem and I say, well, the word says this, that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The word says that you are above and not beneath. Amen. That you are the head and not the tail. Amen. That you lend to many nations and you never have to borrow. The word says that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. In Jesus' name. Amen. The word says draw close to him and he'll draw near to you. Amen. The word says that he is your strong tower. That he is your redeemer. That he has you in the palm of his right hand. That no matter come that what comes at you, he's got you. You can trust him. It says, trust the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. So how much word? I mean, ask yourself, don't respond to me. Ask yourself that question. Do I have enough of the word in me? Because none of us do. Do I want more? Am I hungry? I pray that the Holy Spirit stirs this hunger on us on this Pentecost Sunday to get more of his word. To say, Holy Spirit, have your way. I yield to your ways, Lord. I yield to you and to your ways. Fill me with the Holy Spirit and fire. Till it overflows. That everywhere that I go, your presence goes with me. And people will say, oh, I know that. She's a child of the Most High God. Because when your presence enters the room's atmosphere changes. The devil says, oh no, she's out of her bed. Look out. The devil should be afraid of us. Amen. Oh man, she's getting out of bed. Oh, shaking out of his boots. Because we have that dunamis power in us. That we could command a thing and it moves. It says, speak to that mountain. God doesn't say, I'm going to move your mountain. He says, speak to the mountain and command it to move. Yes. Speak to the fear and command it to go. Speak to your body and command it to line up to the word of God. God doesn't have to do. He's already done it all at the cross. So take your place. Take authority and speak to that mountain and command it to go. All we have to do is yield. Yield to the Holy Spirit. And say, Holy Spirit, I yield all of me to you. Not just to my ankles. Not just to my knees, like Pastor Sarah was preaching the other, not just to my waist. I'm going to jump in. Jump in. All of me. I mean, all of Jesus and none of me. Holy Spirit, have your way in my life. In my life. For what? So that I can win more souls for you. So I can do the Great Commission. So I can lay hands on the sick and they will recover. So I can tell the devil to come out of somebody and it will come out in the name of Jesus. So I can proclaim your word and I can be a witness of your death and resurrection for salvation. Amen. So in verse 4, it tells us, talks about the gift of tongues. And like I said, that's another message. Maybe somebody will preach that. We already did that. The gift of speaking in tongues. So you already have that. But if you are sitting here today or online and you want this gift, it is for you. It is for today. Some people say, oh, tongues are not for today. The devil is a liar because the same Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. The Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit that was there represented in the upper room is here for today for us to walk empowered, full of the Holy Ghost, speaking in tongues. All of that is ours, our portion. So if you want that today, we're going to have a time of ministry and I'm going to ask shortly the leaders to come up and help minister and pray for people. But if that is today, do not leave this sanctuary without that gift. If you need prayer, please People shouldn't leave this door without prayer. I don't care what you want to pray about. We are here for you, to pray for you, to believe with you, to agree with you, to cast the devil out as well. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. So let us pray. Father God, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for your outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We thank you, God, that you are moving in our midst. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Refresh us, Lord. Fill us anew, God, with your Holy Spirit and fire. I thank you, God, for your word. I believe it. I receive it. Holy Spirit, have your way in my life. Let us be vessels full of the Holy Ghost, full of dunamis power, full of boldness to proclaim the word of the Lord, return of the Lord, to proclaim the gospel. I thank you, God, for being with us and in us. Oh, Holy Spirit, you are good. We yield to you every day, every hour, every minute. We thank you for your guidance, for your comfort, for being our advocate, our paracletos. We thank you. We thank you, Jesus, for dying on the cross, that you've already paid it all. We thank you, Lord, as you ascended to God the Father, you sent us the Holy Spirit to help us, to guide us. Oh, I thank you. I thank you for the greatest gift of salvation and eternal life. Father, I just pray for a spirit of boldness to come over this house. Thank you, Lord, for filling us afresh anew with the outpouring of your Holy Spirit. We receive it, Lord. We come humbly before you on this day of Pentecost, and we receive your Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit and fire. We thank you. Father, we bless you. We honor you. We give you all the praise and all of the glory. In your precious name, Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of My Father's House podcast. We hope you'll subscribe to hear our latest updates. My Father's House is a non-denominational Christian church located at 5712 Bass Road in Fort Wayne, Indiana. We invite you to visit us by checking schedule information at mfhfw.org. At our website, you can also support the work of My Father's House with your tax-deductible donation. We pray that you may prosper in all things and be in health, just as your soul prospers.